morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Genesis chapter 26, verses 6 through 25. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis, the 26th chapter. So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "My wife," thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she's your wife. How then could you say she is my sister?" Isaac said to him, "Because I thought lest I die because of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife and would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also, so he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." From there he went up to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." So Isaac built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord's promises are great, and they make for great faith. Yet the greatness of faith always rests in the one who promises, not so much in the one who believes the promise. Now this is a week of great faith, including the grandson, Jacob's faith, that we'll hear about on Wednesday. But today, his dad, Isaac, does not show greatness. He shows weakness. What does weak faith look like? It looks like someone trying to preserve themselves. That is a recipe that you will take away. That is a recipe for you to take away from the promises. In times of success, pride and arrogance reign in such a person, and they drive out faith, so that we believe we probably don't need God. This is recognized whenever thanksgiving is lacking. In times of danger or affliction, it goes like the explanation of the sixth petition. Despair reigns in a person, which is usually recognizable by all sorts of great shame and vice. But at its root lies false belief. Weak faith entertains the notion that what we see surely is more certain than what God has promised. Well, then we, like Peter walking out to Jesus on the water, suddenly look and the waves seem a lot bigger, we begin to sink down. And whatever we grab on to support will surely end shamefully, unless, of course, it's the hand of the Lord's promises. So here Isaac, the son of promise, shows himself very weak. As Esau was prepared to sell his birthright cheaply in hunger, so Isaac almost gave the wife of promise away, all for the fear of what might happen to him. But no one can keep alive his own soul, the psalm says. And neither of these men needed to do that. If the Lord wants you dead, he'll see to it, trust me. If he wants you alive, though, you don't have to buy it from him by selling out your integrity. His promises are stronger than that. For our instruction and for Isaac's salvation, then, he is shamed. He is outfaithed by another man who ought to have been an unbeliever but seems to fear God more than Isaac does, by Abimelech. The Lord rebukes the weakness of Isaac, that weakness that thought itself wise to sacrifice his lady's honor for his own life. We'll see how the Lord instead managed to preserve both in grand fashion. How could we have doubted that he would? And see that the story doesn't end there either. The Lord, as he usually does, piles it on to us, doesn't he? Isaac becomes rich, wealthy, successful even in the first year. The Philistines make themselves guards of Rebekah's chastity. And then they become the foolish ones, fearful for their lives, fearful of how mighty Isaac is becoming, reduced to all sorts of petty bickering, and it looks to me like prankish water fights. It is not clear, is it not clear then, that the Lord's promises are trustworthy, of course? Is it not plain that salvation by God's hand alone and by faith alone leaves no room for weakness in his saints, but instead ought to give us every confidence, every courage to stand firm? Thanks be to God, it becomes clearer to us, and even to Isaac. Because the Lord comes to him and repeats his promise, just like he always does to us. Fear not, I am, and therefore you will live also. And then Isaac called on the Lord's name, that is, he believed, he worshipped, and he was strengthened in that faith because of his Lord's promise. And now, even in his prosperity, he gives thanks to God. This week and next week, we are going to be praying Psalm 25 a lot. It's a very rich psalm, and you're bound to know at least one of those verses already. It is a comfort and it is an antidote for us to false belief, to despair, and to all sorts of great shame and vice. So I commend it to you, along with whatever your other Lenten disciplines may be. You may have success, or you may have failures. There may be many fearful possibilities ahead of you. But the promise of the Lord, "Fear me alone, and beyond that, fear nothing," that promise is strong enough for you also. Turn your eyes ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck you out of the net. He pardons guilt. He pardons the sins of our youth. He guards souls and delivers them. Wait on him. And then you will preserve integrity, uprightness, your life itself, because he is the God of our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.